Brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we tried to start answering the important question, which was the benefit of supplication if it cannot alter the definite divine decree and destiny. And actually, we are trying to answer this important question regarding the position of supplication in relation to the divine will of the Almighty Allah. We explained a little bit the law of causality in history and universe, and the instances of it throughout the Holy Quran. In the previous program also, we concluded that actually the will of Allah does not suspend the law of causality whenever He wills that. But the question that is still remaining to be answered is the relation between the divine will and the principle of causality. The Holy Quran elucidates this relation and defines it in many places, stating that Allah the Exalted has absolute control and power over the law of causality by the very law of causality itself, without suspending or nullifying it. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The Holy Quran does not suspend the will or irada of the Almighty Allah, just as the Jews do, nor does it nullify the law of causality as some of the Ash'ariyun do. Rather, it affirms the sovereignty of Allah over the universe by the very law of causality. And as a result, when He the Exalted wills to bestow His blessings on people, He sends the winds as a glad tiding before His mercy. The Holy Quran in chapter A'raf says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. It is He who sends forth the winds as harbingers of His mercy. Also, in chapter Fatir, the Holy Quran says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ فَتُثِيرُ سَحَابًا. It is Allah who sends the winds, and they raise a cloud. Or in the actually 22nd verse of chapter Hijr, it says, وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ فَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. In short, it says, and we sent the fertilizing wind, and we are the ones who send down water from the sky. So, He is the one who sends down water from the sky, but by sending first the fertilizing winds. When He wills to give good news of His mercy to people, He would send to them winds as signs of His mercy, so that they may raise the clouds. Thereafter, He would send to them rainfall, which would cause their lands to produce what Almighty Allah has deposited in their lands.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim, He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad, He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you, Allah, that we here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God stays with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So in conclusion, when Allah intends to shower His blessings on people, He blesses them through its means. So it has its own sabab and asbab. Similarly, when He decides to punish people, He does so through its means. With regard to His punishment on the people of Pharaoh, or the so-called Fir'aun, Almighty Allah says in the Noble Quran, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْسِمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. It is the 130th verse of chapter A'raf. Certainly, we afflicted the Pharaoh's clan with droughts and loss of product so that they may take admonition. According to this verse, the punishment on the people of Pharaoh and their admonition was accomplished through this drought. Sinin in this verse is the plural form of sanat, which means drought. So, in brief, if Allah willed to bless a community, He would do so by employing its own means, such as the winds and the clouds. And on the contrary, if He intends to punish people, He would do so through its specified means, such as drought and shortage of rainfall. So even in the actions of the Almighty Allah in this universe, we can see that He is going based on the law of causality, and His will, His actions, will not change or actually nullify this law. Thank you for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I'm Eric Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 31st, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are read through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners special, the Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important for us. And heartiest congratulations to all our dear listeners. We are marking the 10-day dawn that 42 years ago ended domestic despotism and foreign hegemony in Iran. The 10-day dawn marks the period in which the Islamic revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. 12 of Bahman, corresponding to February 1st, 1979, was the day on which the beloved leader of the Iranian people, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, returned home from exile and accelerated the struggles against the remnants of the Pahlavi regime. It was in 1979 that the sage of the age Imam Khomeini landed in Tehran to an unprecedented welcome seen anywhere in the world. Millions of Iranians from all walks of life thronged Mehrabad Airport to catch a glimpse of the return from almost 15 years of exile of the beloved leader. Over the past 40 years, the Islamic Republic of Iran has continued to cross milestone after milestone by making spectacular progress in all fields, despite the tyrannical sanctions imposed by the U.S. In other words, the sanctions are indeed a blessing in disguise. And the more the frustrated U.S. and its accomplices impose these worthless sanctions, the more determined and resolved our youths become in breaking new grounds in science and technology to the chagrin of Iranian enemies. The United States of America and the Zionist entity, the fake regime of Israel. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, please stay tuned. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us, actually, to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, as you may know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic, and that's because of the international hygienic protocols. So please be patient until the disease is controlled around the world, and then IRIB English Radio will get back on track and send you the paper QSL cards and other items as souvenirs of our radio. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have sent us letters and emails from around the world, including David Faber from Switzerland. David has sent us an email. Adam Rowling from the UK has sent us an email. Also, we have an email from N.S. Bala Murali from India, and Lalit Kumar Kaga from India has also sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Muhammad Tasli Uddin from Bangladesh. A million thanks to you, dear listeners. So after a short break, I will be back with all these letters and emails from around the world. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Here we have an email from India. This email is from Lalit Kumar Kaga. Lalit says, "Hello, I am your old listener. All of your programs are very good. And here, in our listeners club in India, we listen to your programs carefully. Please send us your New Year calendar, sticker, QSL card, and other promotional items if possible. Thank you in advance." Salam Lalit Kumar Kaga from India, and I do express my appreciation to you for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Your satisfaction and generally all our listeners' satisfaction of our broadcast make us more resolved and determined in providing the best quality of programs in our radio. Anyway, you've requested IRIB English Radio souvenirs or items like calendar, sticker, QSL cards, and as I have said in the introduction of our programs, this is not possible, and this is temporary. After the coronavirus pandemic is eradicated and controlled around the world, we will get back on track, so be patient. We will send you QSL cards and souvenirs of our radio very soon in the future. Well, from the UK, we have an email from Adam Rowling. Adam Rowling says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am a shortwave radio listener from England and had a great pleasure of hearing your broadcast yesterday. I very much enjoyed your broadcast and found it interesting and informative. Some information about me. I'm 35 years old and live with my wife and two children in Cheshire, which is in the northwest of England. The closest city is Manchester, which is 30 miles away. I am a civil engineer and project manager. Thank you again for your excellent broadcast. I really enjoyed the very interesting content." Oh, well, salam, Adam Rowling from the UK. Greetings to you, and thank you very much for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Adam, it seems that you've just joined us in IRIB English Radio. As you said, you had a chance to hear to IRIB English Radio broadcast, as you said, yesterday in your time. Well, it's also a pleasure to have you with us as a new listener, Adam. And we're so glad that you enjoyed our broadcast, as you noted that you found it interesting and informative. Adam, in your upcoming emails and letters, please tell us which programs you like the best. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon, Adam Rowling from the UK. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Switzerland. This email is from David Faber. David says, "Here is a new report from Switzerland of your radio broadcast. Thank you for the quality of your programs. It changes our perception about Iran and what is represented to us by our corrupt European media. It's a pleasure to listen to you. Would it be possible to send me a QSL card? Thank you in advance and best regards. Salam and warm greetings to you, David Faber from Switzerland. We are so grateful for this email. It's also a pleasure to have you with us as a listener, as a new listener, actually. And we're so glad that you're satisfied with the quality of the programs in IRIB English Radio. And it seems that you enjoyed our programs. And as you said, the global arrogance, especially the U.S. and its allies, are trying to portray a false image of Iran and Iranian people. And this is through their media, as you said, their corrupt media. But Iran is a nation which has tried to change challenges into opportunities, you know, for all the time. And as you said, you found a true Iran, a true image of Iran through our programs and through our broadcast. What about traveling to Iran? It's a nice, I think it's a nice suggestion. Maybe you can find the true picture of Iran. Not only you, but many people can find the true image of Iran through traveling, through the Iranian media. Yes. Anyway, thank you very much for writing to IRIB English Radio. And as your request about sending a QSL card, as I've said, this is not possible for the time. And that's because of the coronavirus pandemic. This is because of the health and hygienic protocols. But as soon as the protocols are removed, we send our dear listeners around the world paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Thank you again, David Faber from Switzerland. Write to us very soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. And from Bangladesh, we have an email from Muhammad Hasliuddin. Muhammad Hasliuddin says, I'm a regular listener of your radio station. Thank you for your cooperation and friendship. I send you my warmest greetings. I like your very nice culture. Thank you for your beautiful programs. The radio is my life. Please send me few items representing your radio. Stay safe in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Salam, Muhammad, and warmest greetings to you from Iran. And thanks a lot for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. And thank you for your compliments. It seems that you're satisfied with the programs. Anyway, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. You also stay safe and healthy in the time of coronavirus pandemic. Keep in touch, Muhammad Hasliuddin from Bangladesh. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Muhammad Hasliuddin from Bangladesh. Well, dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back from India. We have an email from N.S. Balmurali. N.S. Balmurali says, Dear staff, I'm writing to you after a long time. I hope you would be fine. I like your programs very much and your website too. And especially, I like your news analysis and photo galleries and videos. And I want your QSL card if possible. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you. N.S. Balmurali from India. Many thanks for sending us this email. And we are so grateful for your commitment to IRIB English Radio, as you said. You're writing to us after a long time, but you wrote this email after, as you said, a long period of time. Now that the coronavirus is gradually being controlled, we are wishing to very soon in the future send our dear listeners paper QSL cards, and other promotional items of IRB English Radio. Thank you again for writing to us. N.S. Balmorali from India. Dear friend, please, in your upcoming emails, tell us which programs you like the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. N.S. Balmorali from India. And time tells me we have to skip to the next section of our program, and that is this week's interview. Please take a listen.
I'm from the UK, and I'm interested in radio and radio broadcast, and I have an interest in journalism as well as history and current affairs. Well, I enjoy activities like reading and traveling and music. These are my interests. I think they were very good, very professionally made. And I think for me, I think I learned a lot about my own country and my own society and politics in the West, which didn't allow me to learn anything about because it was so filtered and so controlled, and there was so much disinformation on the news media. You never really knew the truth. The RIB told me things, you know that were happening and why they happened in the USA and in the UK and in Western politics in general. So I think it's a valuable having an alternative view, which is a bit more creative and not so much censored by the corporations. Well, all I can say is keep enjoying listening to RIB, you know, because there's not many stations that give you such a wide, varied reporting service in terms of what is actually really happening in the world today in terms of politics, because all the Western media is controlled and filtered and sanitized and manipulated, you know, for their own ends, you know. So they don't want you to know the truth. But I think if you listen to RIB, you know, you start learning why things happen and who's behind the news and all the different machinations of politics. But, I think it's important, you know, so you can learn about politics and about culture.
Dear listeners, again, I congratulate you on the 10 days done, which marks the period in which the Islamic Revolution of the Iranian people triumphed over the oppressive Pahlavi regime and put an end to 2,500 years of tyranny and oppression for good. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special Sunday program. Please keep in touch with IRB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with our Abbey English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خداست، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution, on ethics and politics. All problems and differences of humanity will be resolved if the human being's selfishness and animal desires are purified, trained, and tamed. June 2, 1981. Those seeking to train and educate others in the world should themselves be purified and purged before they carry out their tasks. June 2, 1981.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the prophets of God. Imam Khomeini has said that the prophetic mission created a scientific Gnostic change in the world that converted the insipid Greek philosophies, which were formulated with all their past and present worth by the Greeks themselves, into an objective mysticism and a veritable intuitive perception for masters of divine insight. Now, this statement is a heavy statement which was given by Imam Khomeini. Obviously, we know that he was a philosopher and a mystic too. And this claim that he made, he is true in this claim, because it is the prophetic mission.
ای گذشته ز جان در ره هدف، هر زمان میرسد از تو این ندا، ای رفیقان مستضعفان بپا، بود شاه تو به راه حق بیا، ز ما تو را درود، ز ما تو را سلام. خمینی ای امام، خمینی ای امام، خمینی ای امام، خمینی ای امام.
And it is the prophetic mission, it is the prophets who came, who told people that the one who has created you is Allah. There is something beyond you. The existence that you have, when you talk about this existence, even this existence is given you by a necessary being. Who is there? We all are the possible beings. All these things are discussed in the philosophy. We talked about the being, the possible being, or maybe the necessary being. These are all discussed in the philosophy. And it is the prophetic mission that has made a change into the insipid Greek philosophies, and which were formulated with all their past and present worth. And then it changed into an objective mysticism and the veritable intuitive perception for masters of divine insight. If today in the philosophy, in the Islamic philosophy, we see that we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the existence of God, the existence of human being, the things that are beyond the metaphor things, if we talk about them, it is because of the prophetic mission, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah هو ذا الرحمن
Allah
هو ذا المنان.
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, I greet you with the Islamic peace greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. I am your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and in the studio we have our dear scholar, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Sayyid Muhsin, assalamu alaikum and welcome to our studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for having me.
We were talking in the previous program about the banking system in Islam and comparing it with other banking systems that are called non-Islamic. And we said that the interest and usury is forbidden in Islam. Then how do we solve this issue? And you, dear Sayyid, told us that we say that we cooperate, we have a partnership with the bank that we're opening an account in, and thus we are in fact, or in reality, investing in a certain company, a third-party company that we do not know about. Our bank is investing in those companies for us. And thus we get that excessive money in our accounts. If we put 2 million, we get 2.5 million. And that excessive amount, we do not call it interest. We call that what? The money of our partnership with the bank. Now, if I have understood it correctly, you could explain a little bit more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, in regards to the banks, what we had is there are some modes, there are some instruments that we use in the Islamic banking, which is allowed. It's not only in Islamic banking. Overall, Islam has said about these things, like ahallallahu al-bay, for example. Allah has this verse in the Quran that the trade is halal for you. وحرم الربا. The riba is, which is the interest and usury. I translate it in the same way. Like I translate it as interest. This interest is haram. Now, every interest is not haram. That's first thing we need to bear in mind. For example, when
I lease, call that excessive amount in my account for interest.
We need to look
at
each.
But it's halal interest.
Yes, we need to look at each case.
Right.
When we are where we are giving money to the bank. For example, if I lease a car from a bank, generally what happens is the process is the bank goes and buys the car from the main company. And when it buys the car from the company, it gives me the car. Okay? So basically I take a check from the bank, I go to the company where the company is selling the car, or maybe bank itself does that. It buys a couple of cars. And after that, it gives it on the leasing, for example. Now, this is, and then it charges some amount on top of the actual amount. It is a simple trade, basically, that a person goes and buys something, he puts some profit margin on top of it, and then it sells out to the third person. These kind of dealings are halal. Because these kind of things are also called interest. For example, bank says, like, for leasing, I will charge you 10% interest on the car, annual 10%. So this person, that's 10% interest, because this word interest has been used in both places. Anything that you take is known as interest. So this kind of dealing is halal. Why? Because simply, bank went to the company that is the manufacturer of the car. It bought a car from there, and it is selling that car to me on some high rates. Why? Because I'm paying him in the installments. So when it is in installments, it is calculating about its profit, and then it's charging me something extra, which is fine. This type of interest is not haram. This is not forbidden. This is halal. It's allowed.
Right.
That's first thing. The point is, when I lend money to the bank, if it is giving me any interest on top of that, that is haram if I do not know where it's been spent. Now, the modes that are used in Islamic banking is, for example, mudaraba. Mudaraba is known as profit-sharing and loss-bearing contract. This is a contract between me and the bank or the company. The bank is the third party who builds this connection between me and the third party, the company. The XYZ company can be there. So over there, it makes up an agreement, which this agreement is known as mudaraba, which is profit sharing and loss bearing. So
no one of those customers is losing anything. They guaranteed their money when they open an account.
It's not always the case. It's not always the case. Sometimes, obviously, they guarantee because of the the history of the companies where they are basically investing the money.
The short companies, you mean?
Yeah, they know the history. They know that these companies will not have any loss.
Right, yeah.
And on top of that, you know, they're making more than that money, which they are basically telling you.
Mm.
Because they are the connecting person. They're the third person. Bank is the third person. It knows that when I invest money into this company, XYZ, it is making a profit of maybe like 25%.
Right.
So they're paying bank 25%, but bank is giving us the promise of, for example, 12% or 6%.
Right.
So the bank knows from the history. That's why they guarantee always that
but
we'll give you this amount.
But my question is, Sayed, if you want to continue, please.
Yes. After that, we have wadiya. Wadiya is, you know, what we call it as the safekeeping, saving account. You give something to the bank, and they keep it for you, this money, but they're not allowed to pay any interest on that. Okay?
Right.
That's what you can do. Musharaka, it's a joint venture. That it's up to you.
Partnership,
yes. And murabaha is cost plus. This is what you have paid on top of that.
But when you say partnership, that means 50-50.
Yes.
Right? So where is that 50%? I mean, everyone who opens up an account in a bank would, for example,
these are not the
2.5%. If you open an account
that's what they need to do. Musharaka means they do not announce any kind of interest rate over there.
Mm-hmm.
They calculate these things.
I'm saying the bank might get much more.
Yes,
the
but
bank
they,
takes
but they
the lion's share
yes.
and gives us a
so
small
they're the
share.
There are three people then. It's not two, there are three. And then they calculate it at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they have, obviously, it's
right.
been distributed. And after that, there's a leasing, ijara, obviously, as I just mentioned about the leasing of the cars and all those. So it's basically the bank buys something and then it sells to you, which is halal. Now, these are the things that are used. These are some of the modes that are used in the Islamic banking. And the main point, you know, the I think it was in the previous program that can we accept whatever the Sharia Advisory Committee says, if they say the banking is going according to the Islamic Sharia, all the practices are according to the Islamic Sharia, there is a problem in that statement. The problem comes where the bank creates money, publishes money. Okay.
Right.
The basically, yes, if I am giving my money to the bank and I'm not charging anything to the bank, why? Because it is riba, it is known as riba. But the bank itself at the back end, is using that money. And it's creating money out of it. It's lending money to the people and it's charging interest from the people. It's not the two-way. That's the problem. That when I'm giving to the bank and I'm not charging any interest from the bank, I don't want any interest because it's un-Islamic. Okay, this is my part, being a customer. But what about the bank itself? When it lends money to the people, when it lends, it charges the people. That interest is again coming, and it is lending from my money, which I gave to them, to keep it safe
right.
and not to do any haram act out of it. So we cannot say that the Islamic banks are 100% Islamic. Yes, there are some modes that are used as an Islamic, and they're truly practicing that. That is fine. But on top of that, the things that are going back, the activities that they have, they're not fully or 100%, we can say, Islamic. There are some places where the interest involves.
What is the difference when it comes to the reality, the practical things, between an Islamic bank and a non-Islamic bank? Because at the end of the day, they're working in the same way as non-Islamic banks, but we call it for different names. Do you understand me? We call it for different names. We're basically doing the same thing as the conventional banking system.
Yes, we need to know that. We need to believe that. We haven't reached to a fully Islamic banking system yet. And if someone says that, yes, this bank is fully Islamic, this is wrong. It's a wrong statement. That's the first thing. The second thing is, yes, that is true, that when it comes to the banks dealing itself, like the banks between the banks deal with within themselves, obviously they're dealing with the state bank or the central bank and all those. These Islamic banks also become conventional banks. The money that people are putting in the banks as an Islamic bank who is not paying any interest to them for their saving account or current account or any account that they have, okay? They're not paying any interest to the people. But on top of that, they're using the same money into the businesses that are charging interest. They're earning interest, which is riba, from the other sources, and they're not telling these people. Yes, they're not paying to these people that money. But the point is, when they're investing this money into a place where the riba is there, are they paying back to people from the actual amount which they put or no, from the earning that they had through riba? So these are the, you can say, like the black...
The gray zones
of the Islamic banks, which we cannot rely because we do not have 100% Islamic banking. And
what about paper money, the monetary system that we have today?
Well,
when are we going to get rid of that and go back to gold?
I don't know, because
and silver?
According to the new economists who are talking about the MMT, there's a term, modern monetary, and the other people, obviously. Initially, there was something behind this. There was some reserves, the gold or maybe silver or anything was there. But
real
now,
money, real worth.
The real, yes.
That has real worth.
The real worth. But today,
paper money.
Today they do not have
with
any
inflation.
Today they do not have anything behind it. That's one. On top of that, we have checks.
When you say they don't have anything behind it,
it means that the government just published the money.
They don't have gold and silver behind it anymore as they had in the past.
They don't have any more. They don't have any more. And on top of that, the problem is, you know, with this cryptocurrency, Bitcoin and all those, even these things also do not have anything. And the Economist is
trying... The internet money.
Yes, the internet money. And the Economists are trying to say that, obviously, yes, because they do not have money, but they say the government is behind them. The point is, if you say, for example, a government is behind a money, what happens if that government dissolves tomorrow? Mm. Something happens. A war comes. What's going to happen to this money? For example, obviously, you know...
What about oil
money? A revolution comes in a country and totally the system changes. What are you going to do with that money? So these
can we have oil behind money?
Can we
have coffee behind money?
Whatever
that country produces.
Yes. Anything
that has real worth.
Yes, that has a real worth.
So we don't need to have only gold and silver.
You know, in the history we had,
we can have
for
gas,
example, China,
oil.
China used to deal in salt. America the same way. They were dealing with the salt. Like they were valuing the things with the salt at that time. So the salt was obviously, it had the bricks and all those. Obviously, it had its own form. But they used salt as the mean, as a money. The salt was actually the money for the people. So they used to trade with the salt. They used to trade with different things. And
Thank
then
you.
They started to do with the silver and gold when they discovered this.
Thank
it was
you very
easier
much
than the salt. So basically there were a real thing behind it. But this paper money do not have any
value. Real value real behind value. It. Thank you very much, Sayed.
You're welcome.
It was a very fruitful discussion. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us in this program of questions and answers on Islamic belief. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن
Well, welcome to the light. It's good to have you. Beginning with our canine companions, the sniffing abilities of dogs are being put to the test at a leading French veterinary laboratory where dogs are being trained to detect the coronavirus. Five dogs from the canine brigades of the French National Gendarmerie have been training since early January. They sniff at a number of vessels, each containing a piece of cloth with human sweat. Some samples are from patients with COVID-19, negative donors, or even neutral scents. When the canine shows interest in a vessel with a COVID-19 sample, it is rewarded.
It will soon be necessary to screen asymptomatic people in all kinds of spaces, schools, nursing homes, which must continue to be better understood and defined, and airports. This type of tool, which makes it possible to offer at least one strong criterion of suspicion, will facilitate the whole process in terms of user-friendliness, accessibility, and reactivity.
Well, the dog's keen sense of smell is said to be able to detect the coronavirus in 95% of positive cases. It's hoped that the canines will be able to detect COVID-positive people even if they show no symptoms. The animals can be used as a non-invasive way of testing for the viral infection, as well as many other life-threatening illnesses. igloo, a dome-shaped structure made of snow and ice, gives us an idea of the Inuit of Arctic. But hang on. The ski resort hotel in Indian-controlled Kashmir has come up with a similar idea to attract visitors. The Kolahoy Green Heights has an igloo cafe where tourists can enjoy hot drinks and food in sub-zero temperatures. Even the tables in the Eskimo-style cafe are made of ice and snow. As many as 16 people can sit and chill out in the igloo at any given time. The icy cafe is 25 feet around. Unlike those on the Arctic, this particular igloo has elements of local architecture, like an arched door and patterns on the curved walls.
A French-Swiss artist spray paints a huge fresco on the grounds of Cape Town as part of a global project aimed at fostering unity in a polarized world. The 31-year-old artist tries to convey his message of togetherness in his movement called Beyond Walls. The project consists of frescoes depicting two hands clasping each other's forearms around the world. South Africa's Cape Town represents an essential step of the project due to its history marked by apartheid. The self-taught artist says he wants to create the biggest human chain in the world, and Cape Town is his ninth step.
Because for me, I really trust that it's only together that humanity can respond to the biggest challenge of our time. And this is this message that I want to do by making huge fresco with biodegradable paint directly on the grass. It is a worldwide project, and the idea is to create the biggest human chain to speak about togetherness. And today in Cape Town, this is the ninth step of this project.
Saip uses paint made out of charcoal, chalk, water, and milk proteins to create his art, making it eco-friendly. He was also named one of the most influential young artists by Forbes magazine for his art, which is best viewed from aerial footage. His temporary biodegradable images have been previously painted on lawns in eight cities, including Paris, Andorra, Geneva, Berlin, Ouagadougou, and Istanbul.
A Russian firm has developed a flying taxi in an attempt to solve the problem of transportation in megacities. According to HoverSurfe Company, testing the aircraft is now in the final stages. If successful, the drone taxi will go into mass production at the end of 2021. Special runways are not required as the vehicle is as big as a normal car and can land on a parking lot. Designers say it's capable of carrying two people or up to 300 kilograms of cargo.
The prototype of this flying machine will soon turn into a social device that we're going to build in 2021, and thus all the technologies that we have already built will be applied to this machine. The car will fly with a new type of engine that is installed here.
The flying taxi can reach an altitude of 150 meters and develop a speed of up to 200 kilometers per hour. The company says a flight with air taxi will cost around 27 cents per kilometer. The name Afghanistan may remind many people across the world of some bad news of war, violence, and poverty. This is mainly due to the war in Afghanistan, which has been going on for over the past decades. Yet, there are some interesting stories about Afghanistan, its people, and their traditions and customs, such as Afghans' food culture. Amin Alami has more in this report.
When it comes to cooking and traditional dishes, Afghans have a lot to say. First of all, this is important to know that meat and rice are inseparable parts of Afghans' food culture.
Afghan traditional dishes like qabili, kebab, karai, mantu, ashak, bulani, and dugh are the some you can find available in restaurants, mainly serving traditional delicacies. Each one of these represents the food culture of specific tribes and ethnic groups.
Let's see what the manager of this restaurant has to say about some popular local dishes in Afghanistan.
When you want to talk about traditional foods of Afghanistan, you need to test different dishes that are, of course, very delicious. For instance, qabili is a mixture of rice, carrot, cuisine, and lamb meat. Northern Afghanistan is home to this delicious food, while Western Herat province is well known for its delicious khichdi.
There are some key factors which should be taken into consideration when talking about Afghan food culture. As Afghans themselves say, their food is highly organic. They believe the food culture has made Afghans' bodies much stronger than those who do not have organic meals and their food culture.